other than John, they doubted the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they were all present when Jesus appeared unto them, except for Thomas. And that's where we find ourselves here at the end of John chapter 20, is Thomas doubting the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hence why we call him Doubting Thomas. But we can learn a lot from Thomas this evening here in John chapter 20, verse 24. We'll go to the end of the chapter. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So that ye might believe." That's our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we go into your word together. I pray we'll open our hearts to hear from you, that, Lord, that each of us would gain and glean something from your word tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in our time in your word, and also as we come together to pray one for another later. We give it all to you, and we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So he's called Doubting Thomas for a reason, because the other disciples said, "We have seen the Lord." That should have been enough to have 10 witnesses or 11 witnesses, to the resurrected Jesus, but it wasn't enough for Thomas. And that happened up in verse 20. If you look up there earlier, it says, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Up to that point, all except John doubted. Remember, we talked last week, even Sunday night, actually, from Habakkuk, about walking by faith instead of walking by sight. The disciples are still walking by sight. They're all saying, "Well, I don't believe Jesus rose from the dead." Even when the women came and said, "I saw Jesus," they said, "Well, it must have been a spirit or his ghost, but it certainly wasn't Christ." It wasn't until he actually physically appeared in the room with them that they finally said, "It's Jesus." And then they said to Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And verse 25, Thomas says, "Except I shall see, unless I see with my own eyes, in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And you'll see in this passage the word "believe" shows up a lot of times. And Thomas is saying, "Unless I can see Christ for myself and literally touch his body, I will not believe." That makes it difficult for a lot of people in the world today, because if that's the attitude they're going to have, that "I'm not going to believe until I can see or touch Jesus," then they're going to go to hell. We must believe. And as John said later, that's why he wrote his gospel, so the people could believe and receive eternal life. So go to Mark 16, verse 14, and we'll see where Christ appeared to the disciples. And this particular verse records something that isn't recorded in John. And that is Jesus, if you will, upbraiding them or rebuking them. Notice Mark 16, 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They did not believe the women that had seen Christ. And Jesus, when he first appeared to them, it says he upbraided them. He rebuked them for not believing that Christ had risen from the dead. And like we talked Sunday night, God says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We're not to base our faith on what we see and experience, but on what God has written in his word. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If it's not until you see it, then it's not faith anymore, is it? So we get saved by faith and we walk by faith. So back to our passage, it was 8 days later that the disciples were again assembled, but this time Thomas is with them. And Jesus, in his mercy and love, did not rebuke Thomas, but he did say to him there in verse 27, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." So now we know what the opposite of believing is, don't we? It's faithless. Which makes sense, because believing is faith. So not believing is faithless. And he says to Thomas, don't be faithless. And then Thomas makes this beautiful declaration, which says so much. He answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Now, as you know, in verse 29, Jesus said, "You're blessed, Thomas, because you've believed." He never once stopped and said, "Well, Thomas, really, you shouldn't have said that." And if, like we hear from the Jehovah's Witness and others, that Jesus isn't God, this was his opportunity to reject the title, wasn't it? But he didn't reject the title. He accepted the title, "My Lord and my God." Remember, John, more than any other of the Gospels, presents the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Thomas here is declaring Jesus as the Lord, the Master, but also as God in the flesh. My Lord and my God. Now, if you go to Isaiah 43:10, this is just one example. We could spend the rest of the night looking at examples of scriptures that make it very clear that there is only one true God. Now, we all know this to be true. And yet, how much of the world worships multiple gods? And then you take, like I say, the people like the Jehovah's Witness who go around saying, "Well, it's okay for Jesus to be called God. He's just not Almighty God." And then they accuse us of worshiping multiple gods because we believe in the Trinity. But actually, they're the ones that believe in multiple gods, because they say it's okay for Jesus to be called God, but he's not Jehovah. Which means there's two gods. But Isaiah 43:10 is actually the Jehovah's Witness theme verse. How about that? And it fascinates me, talk about irony, that their very theme verse makes it very clear there's only one true God. Notice it says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord." And of course, in their Bible, it says, "saith Jehovah." So that's where they get the phrase Jehovah's Witnesses from Isaiah 43:10. Notice what he says. "And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." That's pretty clear, isn't it? God says there's never been another God formed, and there never will be. I am the only God. The only true God, of course. There's false gods like the devil. But he says, "I am it." And so for Jesus to be called God by Thomas, he either has to be a false God or he has to be the true God, the only God, Jehovah. And of course, he is. So Remember in Isaiah 9:6, where it says, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So even in the Old Testament, Jesus, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is referred to as the Mighty God. And then if you go to Hebrews 1:8, we'll see another example. This is the Father speaking to the Son. Here in Hebrews 1:8, I assume this took place in heaven. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it says here in Hebrews 1:8, But unto the Son he saith, so unto the Son, the Father says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So even the Father refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Now, remember when we did go to John chapter 8? I'm sure you remember it. It's probably only about a year and a half ago. But in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus makes this amazing declaration. And what he's telling us here is if you are not willing to believe that Jesus is God, you cannot be saved. That's why whenever you present the gospel to people, yes, you need to talk about sin and you need to talk about the consequences of sin, which is going to hell. But when you talk about Jesus paying for our sins, you need to make sure that's when you take the opportunity to say who Jesus was. That God became a man. The incarnation. And that Jesus died on the cross. That was our Creator taking on human form that he might be the perfect man and die in our place. But notice John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Later on in the chapter, he explains what he means because he says, before Abraham was, I am. Claiming to be the I Am of Exodus chapter 3 when God met Moses in the burning bush and Moses said, What's your name? He said, I am that I am. Jesus said, Before Abraham was, I am. And if you're not willing to believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So Thomas was saying so much when he said, My Lord and my God. And then in verse 29 of our passage, John 20, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Because you've actually physically seen me, seen the prints of the nails in my hand, seen where I was stabbed in my side, you believed. That's good. But notice what he goes on to say, Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. That's everyone after the ascension of Jesus Christ who have not had opportunity to physically see Jesus Christ on the earth. He said, Blessed are all of those who've not seen and yet have believed. Now, I mentioned this Sunday night as well, but go to 1 Peter 1:8. God makes it clear that we will not see Jesus physically on this earth until we are either raptured out or we return with the kingdom. But during the church age, we have not seen Jesus. Now, there's many people, primarily in the charismatic movement, that claim to have met Jesus, they claim to have seen Jesus, that he's come and talked to them and come to their bedside or whatever. But 1 Peter 1:8 says, Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That makes it pretty clear we haven't seen Christ physically. So for someone to claim they have, they're calling God a liar. Because this is written to all Christians, whom having not seen ye love. So he says to Thomas, it's good that you've believed because you've seen me. That's good, Thomas. But blessed are they that have not seen. Blessed are they have not met me physically and believe. Talking about the millions and millions of people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior since this time in Scripture. In verse 30, he did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31, but these are written that ye might, what? Believe. John 20:31 could easily be called the theme verse of the Gospel of John. Because he's saying straight up, this is why I wrote this gospel. That people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through His name. So remember when we talked way back at the beginning of John, we said that the word believe appears 101 times in the Gospel of John, more than any other book in the Bible. So if you had to pick a word that declared the theme of John, that word would be believe. And then the third most common word is the word life, which appears almost 70 times. That is the theme of John, that you might believe, and that believing you might have life. Praise the Lord. Now, most of us know John 3:16 says the same thing, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believes gets life. And Jesus is saying, Thomas, it's good that you've believed, but blessed are those who won't see Me and yet will believe. And John says, that's why I wrote this book, so that people will believe and receive life. In John 6:47, He said, He that believeth on Me hath everlasting life. And look at one more, John 11, verse 25. So this is the theme of the Gospel of John, that we might receive eternal life by believing on Jesus Christ. Here in John 11, this is when Jesus came to the funeral of Lazarus and raised him from the dead. And before He raised him from the dead, He was speaking to Martha and Mary. And notice He said here in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believe and live. Believe and live. We see this over and over in John. He that believeth shall. And then it goes on to say, verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. That's because we have eternal life. Praise the Lord. So we never die. We might change locations, but we never die. So it's a blessing that Thomas believed. It's a blessing that he made this amazing declaration about the person of Jesus Christ. But Jesus says the real blessing is on all those thousands and millions of people from here who won't see Me but will believe. And then John says, and that's why I'm writing this gospel, so that you might believe and receive life. Believing you might have life through His name. That ye might believe. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for